Good morning. Man, if that wasn't a pitch for the men's retreat, I don't know what was. Should be the best turnout we've ever had at a men's retreat. I'm excited for it. Amen. God is awesome, isn't he? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Okay, we are coming to the end of our sermon series, Covenant Community. These are the last two final weeks, and I believe that today is where the rubber hits the road for this series. So I'm imploring you to open up your ears and open up your hearts to receive it, because if you don't, you will forfeit something. If you don't hear this morning's message, something big is at stake. And so if you're not tuned in, you're going to miss something. And I don't want anyone here to miss anything this morning, because God is offering something amazing for all of us. Amen? God is offering something amazing. He continuously offers us amazingness of who he is. I want you to imagine for a second that you wanted to go sailboating. You got this idea in your head, like, I just really want to go sailboating. And so you know nothing about sailboating. You know how not the first thing about it. All you know is a boat goes in the water. That's it. And so what you do is the first step you take is that you get a book on sailing, right? And so you start reading the book and you get a few books. You go to the library and you get them all up. And you read all up on sailing as best you can. And you got it, you got a good knack of what sailing entails, right? And so then you go and you seek out maybe someone who's an experienced sailor, and you go and ask them some questions. You know, what can I expect? What are the kind of things that I can be, you know, ready for, so that I should be ready for, and stuff like that. And so you do your due diligence, right? And you get all of your stuff. And then, so the next day or the next week or whatever, how long it takes you to get all that information, you rent a sailboat. And you're like, yes, this is it. And so you go and you check over the boat, make sure the boat's all in good shape, and make sure everything is the way it's supposed to be. And then you take your boat into the water, and it drops into the water, and you're like, yes, here we go. I'm going to go sailing. And you put your thing in, you put the boat in the water, and all of a sudden, you realize, oh, okay, I got to hoist my sail now. And so you hoist the sail. You're like, I learned all about that. Here's how you do it. I don't know how you do it, but this is hoisting a sail. I'm sure there's something, I don't know. But the ropes go, and the sail goes up, and you're in the water, and you absolutely realize something. You discover something. You need absolutely, you are absolutely powerless to make that thing move. You need God to make wind blow that sail. And so you discover something very quickly, that you are in constant and continuous need of God's power to blow that thing and to get it moving in the direction that it is meant to go. Amen? This morning's message is giving attention to this amazing gift that Jesus gives to the covenant community, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're going to see that the covenant community of God, we as the people of God, are constantly and continuously in need of his power in our lives and his presence in our lives to keep us moving in the direction that he has called and ordained us for. We constantly and continuously need his power. I believe something is going to take place within this church body today, and I believe that God is going to activate something within us in this church community. I truly believe that, and I believe that he's going to bring a fresh new strength and an ability to this people right here. I truly believe that. And so I want to start out by asking you a question. It's a simple question. Do you desire more of God? Have you tasted and seen of his goodness? And you've gotten a little taste, and all you know is that you know is that you desire more of that. Do you desire more of his power in your life? More of his presence? More of his joy? More of his peace? Do you desire more of God in your life today? Tomorrow? Next week? Next month, next year, do you desire more of God's power? I know I do. I want to tell you this morning that God desires to give you more of himself. He desires to give you more of himself. And today he offers it to you. He offers it to you. And so at the end of this message, we're going to do something together as a corporate body. And we're all going to stand. And if you want this, if this is something that you desire, you're going to stand and we're going to raise our hands in the air and we're going to receive what God is offering to all of us today. Because His desire is for you to be full of His Spirit. Full. Full to overflow with His Spirit. I want you to know this morning that you have complete access to the fullness of God. That because of the sacrificial blood of Jesus, the atoning sacrifice, and Him giving us His Holy Spirit, which is at work in us doing what is called sanctification, which means that He is in the process of making us more like Christ. He is sanctifying us. He's setting us apart as holy. Because of the sacrificial blood of Jesus and Him giving us His Holy Spirit at work in us, we have been made complete in Him. We have been made complete in Him. And you have been given complete access to the fullness of God. I want you to think about that for just a moment. You have complete access to the fullness of God. To the fullness of God. That is good news. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 3. We're not going to put it up there because that thing's going nuts again. So we're just not going to do that. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read this amazing passage of Scripture that Paul writes to the saints. Okay, now, I want you to keep in mind that he's writing this to people who are saints. All right, New Testament saints. So it applies to all of us. Ephesians 3 here says, in verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." In verse 16, "That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." That's so good. Let's read that again, huh? "That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power," to be empowered through His Spirit in your inner being. Verse 17, two very important words. When you're reading the Bible, you look for these words. "So that," right, there's a reason, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend," to understand, "with all the other saints, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's good news. That is good, good news. Tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and say, "I need a refill. I need a refill." What Paul is saying here is that to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being is to have our inner being, our spirits, right, that inner core, filled with the very energy of God's life. How many of you know that you need the energy of God's life in you? You need the energy of God's life in you. Now, let me just be clear about a few things. Let me just kind of bring a little bit of context in here. Because of our union with Christ, the blood of Jesus, and our belief in that, we are united with Christ, right? And because of that Spirit that is in us, we are made complete. I said that once before. We have been made complete. God has sent us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that we are complete and that we are whole. That He has completed something that we will experience in the future called glorification. When the new resurrection, when Jesus returns, we will be glorified, right? So this also means that you have access to the fullness of God. But I want you to know this morning that we do not possess right now the fullness of God. We do not possess the fullness of God right now. We have been made complete. We have been made whole. And we take those future promises and we take them and make them into a present reality and we live by them in faith. That this has already been completed, that this is already done, that this is a promise for us. We take those future promises and we live them out in faith in our present reality, okay? So we've been made complete, but we have not possessed, we do not possess the fullness of God. The Bible tells us that when Jesus returns on that awesome day, when heaven and earth collide and they consummate and they come together as one, the Bible says, at that moment, God will be all in all. Means that He will be all things in all things. He will entirely fill you and He will entirely fill the rest of creation with Himself. And so on this side of glorification, we have these promises set in stone. But in the meantime, while we wait upon His return, He has given us complete and open access to the fullness of Him. It becomes our responsibility to appropriate, to grab a hold of, and to seize the fullness of God through faith. And we do that by asking the Holy Spirit, who is our connector to God. He is our contact point to God. He is our mediator of the presence of God. He is our conductor. He is our tether line. He is that connection point between us and God. And so we receive the fullness when we ask through faith to the one who is our contact point, to fill every sector of our lives, every ounce of our lives, every minuscule detail of our lives to the fullness of God. And so Christ dwells in our inner man, and through the Holy Spirit, we are supplied with strength, and then we're empowered, and we're renewed day by day. For what purpose? Well, Paul tells us here. So that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. You see, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit, we are actually immersed in the love of God. You are soaked in it. You are saturated in it. You are immersed and drenched in His love. And so what Paul is saying is that when you're strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, it is to know the love of God that extends beyond that which you really can even comprehend on your own. It is to know a love that surpasses knowledge. That surpasses knowledge. To know sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? To know something that is beyond our knowledge. That's what it means to be full of the Spirit. To experience and to know the love of God, to be immersed and drenched in it, and to experience His love beyond what our own minds can wrap around. That's awesome. So, Paul here in this section of this letter, he's talking about the mystery of God. He's just kind of going on about the mystery of God, and then he wraps it up right here. But let me just say this. Let me just appeal to all of us this morning, please. We have to leave room for the mystery of God in our lives. We have to leave room, as this song that we just sang, for the indescribability of God. That unexplainable, that inexpressible component of God. That unpredictability of God. We have to leave room for that in our lives. He's untamable. He is God who rules the universe. We have to leave room for that. The mystery of God in our lives. Because the moment that we think we've got a handle on God, and the moment we think that we know everything there is to know about God is the moment we forfeit the opportunity to receive from Him. And this morning, He wants to share and He offers fresh infillings to all of us this morning. He longs to share Himself with you. He longs to share Himself with you. Everybody say, I need a refill. Because I don't know it all. So Paul he continues this theme in the next two chapters. And in chapter 5, verse 18, you should be right close there. We see something that is profound in Scripture. It's profound. And Paul says in verse 18, as the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit writes Scripture, right? He inspires Paul to put pen to paper like Phil was saying, Pastor Phil was saying just a few minutes ago. And so this is the Holy Spirit writing this, right? And He's writing it to the church, the saints, those who have already given their lives to Christ. Okay? And so He says this in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Now here's what is so profound about this, is the grammatical use of this, the grammatical tense that Paul is using here for be filled with the Holy Spirit is something called a present imperative. A present imperative means that it's an ongoing expectation for this. And not only is there an ongoing expectation for this, it's actually a command. So it is a command in Scripture for repeated action. So in other words, Paul is saying, be being filled. Be filled again and 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 again with the Spirit of God. Because we recognize that we are not going anywhere. We are not going to be heading in any direction that God has ordained for us if His power is not strengthening and empowering our inner being. If He is not filling this vessel with Himself, you are not going to be going in the direction that He has created you for and ordained you to be in. And so here we are before God, and He's offering us more of Himself. But what we're going to see in just a few moments is that He does not force it upon you. It's something that He offers. And so here's this command from the Holy Spirit to the church to be continuously and repeatedly filled with the Spirit. There's an argument that goes on about being filled with the Spirit. Is being filled with the Spirit a once-for-all experience, or is it a not a once-for-all experience? So my answer to that is, I've done so much study on it, is that it's both and. It's both and. When you have Jesus Christ come into your life, He gives you His Spirit. But you have to take the rest of the context of Scripture in with that. And it says repeatedly in through Scripture to be filled again and again and again and again. And so yes, you're filled at the moment of salvation. But there is this imperative in Scripture that says be filled again and filled again and filled again. Because your life is not able to be your life unless the Holy Spirit is empowering you each and every day. You see, I want you to realize this morning, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you life. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also says that the Holy Spirit is what constitutes this church. He enables this church to be in unity. He enables us to be brothers and sisters and to be in a community together. And so there's an understanding that if He's the source of life, the Bible says that He was there at creation, that He is a part of creation. If He is the one who is the source of life, then He needs to be that source of every orifice of our life. He needs to be influencing this new life. He has to be a part of everyday life. So what does it mean to be filled? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Here it is simple. Ready? It's to be absolutely saturated with and under the influence of the Spirit, in which He guides you, He directs, He empowers, He leads us, so that we can reflect the nature and character of God. That's what it means, to be filled with the Spirit. It means that God's presence, His power, His influence through the Holy Spirit is filling our lives in such a way that we reflect from our innermost being the nature and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that applies to every detail of our lives, where all of our heart and our mind and our soul are filled with the Spirit. And we need that on a constant, continuous, ongoing basis. It's like when you go to the gas station and you fill up your car, right? And you go in, you fill up, and as soon as you leave the lot, fuel gets burned up, doesn't it? Fuel just gets burned up. And as you drive, you use up gasoline and it begins to dissipate. That gasoline begins to dissipate. And the length of time that it takes from full to empty depends on how much you use, how fast you're driving, how far you're going, how cranked up that air conditioner is on high, full blast, right? All of these factors contribute to the dissipation of that fuel. That is the energy that is fueling and powering your vehicle. You with me? And so that fuel gauge begins to slowly go down from full to empty because it is using up the energy that the fuel provides. And eventually what? Your car needs to be filled up. And it becomes your responsibility to ongoing fill up your car and fill it up and fill it up and fill it up. In the same way, as we live our lives, we get drained. We get drained spiritually. As we run on empty sometimes. We run empty because we are expending our spiritual energy, that which God has filled us up with, and we expend it doing the work that God has for us. And so in order to do the work, the continual work that God has for us, we have to continuously and constantly be filled with His Spirit. We need this. This church needs it. We need to be a people, a Spirit-filled people. In order for us to move forward, in order for us to keep heading in the direction that God has for our lives, we need His constant and continuous power blowing through us. We need to be filled. And here's where this goes a little bit deeper. You see, I asked the question, do you want more of God? Do you desire more of God? And that's what being filled is. Being filled with the Spirit is God giving you more of Himself, but it's not limited to that. I would actually say that being filled with the Spirit is not only about you getting more of God. It is about God getting more of you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is about God having access, freedom, to be inexpressible in your life, to be the mystery of who He is in your life. It's about God having access and getting more of you. To be filled afresh with the Spirit means that God gets more of you. He gets more of you. And so, I don't think that we should be concerned with how much of the Holy Spirit we have. I don't think that should be our main concern. Because I've got more Holy Spirit than the other person's got Holy Spirit. But our main concern should be, each and every one of us, how much of the Holy Spirit does He have of me? How much the Holy Spirit has of me personally, individually? Being filled with the Spirit ultimately comes down to His Lordship in our lives and our surrender to His Lordship in our lives. Who sits on the throne of your life every day? Who calls the shots in your life? Who guides your attitude? Who guides your reactions? Who influences your mind? Who has influence over the thoughts that run through your mind? Is it you, or is it the Spirit of God? And so this is where being filled with the Spirit takes on a form of a daily submission and surrendering of ourselves to His leading and His guiding and His direction, as we are constantly drawing upon His power to live as the people that He created us to be. You cannot live the life that He has called and died and created for you without constantly drawing upon this empowerment from the Holy Spirit. It's understanding that the only way that I can live a life worthy of the calling that God has given me, to live a life that pleases God ultimately, is a life that reflects, is to have that power of the Holy Spirit continually at work in my life. It's a posture of humility where He's Lord and you used to be dust that He breathed life into. And so we surrender to His reign in our lives in this position before God so that we can receive the fullness of Him. Can I invite the worship team on up? When we all came in here this morning, they were singing a song that we're gonna finish with. But as we begin to finish up this morning's message, if you want to turn with me to John chapter 7, we're going to look in John chapter 7, and we're going to see what Jesus says about all this. You guys can just play quietly behind us. That'd be great. Thank you. Because we're going to respond to this together, corporately. I guess I should turn there too. Here we go. John chapter 7 says this. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out. He stood up and he cried out this. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his inner being, will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were ready, who were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Today, Jesus has been glorified, and the Spirit of God has been sent to the church. And so we kind of see something here, maybe not a method, but something sort of like a path mark that you can be. I don't know what I'm calling. But there we see something significant here in what Jesus says about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I see like four things in this. In verse 37, he says, if anyone thirsts, if anyone desires, if anyone craves, if anyone has a longing, an unquenchable thirst for more of God, I want you to know this morning that God desires to give out what he has to you. He desires to give it out to you. And so first we have to come with this desire, this craving for more of God, for craving to allow God to have more of me. And he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. There's that posture of humility where you stand before God and you say, God, you are Lord. And God, I know that my life is not, I know, Lord God, it is not what you have in store for me right now. But God, I come to you right now. I'm coming to you in humility right now, God, humbling myself before you. And it's, to come to God is like a sign of repentance, isn't it? To come before him and say, God, here are the things in my life. Here's the sin in my life that I'm aware of. And by coming to you in humility, God, I'm emptying out this vessel of all that is nasty and yucky. Because I want only your goodness to flow through this clean vessel. And so essentially this coming to God is cleaning the vessel that you are, repenting before him in humility and saying, God, this is the sin of my life. I'm asking you to do a healing work, to make me new, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Clean this pipe, clean this vessel so that I can be a conduit of your Spirit. So he says, if anybody thirsts, if anybody desires and craves, if anybody is longing for, come and humble yourself before the Lord. And ready? Simply drink. Just receive it. To receive it. The satisfaction and the quenching of what it is that you desire, of what it is that God is offering to you this very morning. More of himself in every sector of your life. And again, this is something that is not forced upon you. He says, if anyone thirsts for it, if anyone is craving it, if anyone is desiring it, let him come and humble himself before me, and you shall receive. Receive. He's not forcing it upon you. And finally, we see the fourth thing is that out of his heart, out of your inner being, will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. You know what that means? You become a source of life. And wherever you go, wherever God has planted you, wherever God has put you in life, as you go out filled with his Spirit, you fill to overflow and you spill out the goodness of God into others' lives. And you spill it out and you're flowing and overflowing with it. You desire it. You repent. You receive and you act You desire it. You repent. You just receive it. And then you act on it. Being filled with the Spirit. This is what it means to be a part of the covenant community of God. It's to be part of a fellowship of committed believers who will daily submit their lives under the lordship of Jesus and live in the power of the Spirit that fills them each and every day. That's what it means to be a part of a covenant community. And so what we're going to do right now, if this is something that you desire, I'm going to ask you and invite you to stand with me, because I'm going to be standing. And we're going to sing this song called Fill Me Up. And could I ask you not to put the words up, please? Because what I want to happen right now is I want you to have a moment with God where you are with your eyes closed and your mind focused on God and listening to these words. And they're so easy, you will pick up on it. And then we're going to pray together. Thank you, guys.
You provide the fire.
Can I ask you just to lift your hands as a sign of surrender, as a sign of reciprocation, a sign of receiving? Just call upon Him right now and sing a song up to Him.
Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
Cry of our heart, Lord God. This is our prayer unto you. Fill us up in this time. So that we overflow for you, our God. This is all about you. This is all for you. Fill us for you. Fill us to be strengthened and empowered to live the life that you have given us. I wanna run over. God, overflow. Permeate all of my soul.
Permeate all my soul.
Oh, sing that again.
Love of God.
Immerse us in your love in this moment, God. Baptize us in your love. Saturate us with your love. Soak us, Lord God.
Voice to him right now.
Overflow.
Come on, lift your voices.
Permeates all my soul.
Love of God overflow.
Love of God overflow.
Permeate all my soul.
Permeates all my soul.
One more time.
Love of God overflow.
Good day. You know what's going on? You're filled. You're filled to overflow. So travel far. Travel far. Turn up the air conditioning and delight in it. Because there's more where it came from. Amen? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be satisfied. So we're going to close the service. If you would like prayer, I'm going to make myself available, and Pastor Phil and Jill, they will make themselves available for you to pray. But go knowing that you have been filled with the Spirit of God for that which He has ordained for you. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you as you leave this place. God bless you. Go overflow somewhere. Amen? Amen.